the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 28, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. People in Jacksonville are mourning the deaths of three black residents gunned down by a white man who left behind manifestos that have led investigators to believe the shooting was a hate crime.
The victims of the shooting at a Dollar General store on Saturday were identified as 19-year-old Anolt A.J. Laguerre Jr., Gerald Deshaun Gallen, age 29, and Angela Michelle Carr, 52. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office identified the gunman as 21-year-old Ryan Palmeter, who first attempted to drive through Edward Waters University, a nearby historically black school. Jacksonville City Council member Rockman Johnson is a professor at the university.
These three lives that were taken here in Jacksonville, I pray that they are not in vain. So rather than just grieving and crying, as Ayanna Van Zant once said, let's cry with a purpose, right? Let's grieve and then work.
As for what work entails, Johnson says he isn't quite sure just yet, but thinks there must be a serious focus on mental health for a community in trauma. I'm Tramell Gomes.
The shooter used an AR-15 semi-automatic and a Glock handgun in the shootings. Now, for our fellow broadcast journalist at NPR, six decades ago, an estimated 250,000 people gathered at the Lincoln Memorial for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech that day, August 28, 1963, has since emerged as a paramount symbol of the push for racial and social equality. NPR reports on Saturday, tens of thousands of people gathered in the same spot to declare the dream is in jeopardy. America had slipped backwards in its fight against hatred and bigotry. A recent report finds only about 31% of New York City's public schools are disability accessible.
The report from Advocates for Children of New York finds districts with a majority of schools not compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act are in Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx. Sarah Part with Advocates for Children of New York says the group is looking for the DOE to invest $1.25 billion in accessibility upgrades during their next capital plan. But she notes that money will only go so far.
So it'll take some of those buildings to full accessibility or to a much higher level of partial accessibility. They might not be perfect as far as ADA compliance, but they'll be a legitimate educational option for a student who has a physical disability or for a teacher or a staff member who uses a wheelchair and wants to work there.
In the 2020 through 2024 capital plan, the city dedicated $750 million for these upgrades. Once that funding ends in 2024, more than one-third of schools will be fully accessible, with only one district having half of all schools accessible. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
This is Public News Service. A proposal to allow betting on which political party will end up controlling the Congress is drawing opposition from pro-democracy groups and from a coalition of progressive senators.
The New York trading company Kalshi has asked the Commodity Futures Trading Commission for approval to offer derivatives trading on so-called event contracts, specifically on control of Congress. Stephen Spaulding with the group Common Cause says gambling on elections is bad for democracy.
You can imagine wealthy gamblers could make significant money by exploiting disinformation to influence an electoral outcome that would protect the bettor's bottom line. And this, again, opens up a significant risk to the perception that the winners and losers of an election are not determined by voters, but by those who stand to gain financially.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Both Common Cause and some U.S. senators, including California's Dianne Feinstein, submitted letters of opposition. That during the public comment period, which ended in July. Colorado employers will soon be barred from asking questions that could reveal someone's age on a job application.
Colorado lawmakers passed the Job Application Fairness Act in the last session to address age discrimination, which AARP projects could cost the nation nearly $4 trillion in lost productivity by mid-century. Andrea Kuick with the Bell Policy Center says in addition to highly honed skill sets, older workers also bring hard-won wisdom that comes with years of experience.
Whenever we have multi-generational workplaces, so both older workers, younger workers, middle-aged workers, there has been research that shows that that increases productivity. It benefits the employer, it benefits the workplace across the board.
Continuing to work is a necessity for the vast majority of Americans who have zero or insufficient retirement savings. I'm Eric Galatas.
Colorado is currently facing a worker shortage crisis for high-demand jobs, including education, early childhood education, forestry, and nursing. Finally, Ross Brown's been talking to opponents of a plan to allow hunters to kill more black bears in New Mexico over the next 4 years.
The state's Department of Game and Fish took public comments on the proposal last week. Even though the increased number of bear kills is small, Mary Catherine Ray with the Sierra Club Rio Grande chapter says none of the density studies have been peer-approved or published. She notes that fires have ravaged wildlife in recent years, while temperatures across the state continue to rise.
How does this alter populations? The current proposals don't even consider it. Instead, they expand hunting for bears into the heat of summer in two southern bear zones and increase the bear kill quota in the Gila, where so much has burned down in recent years. These animals need a break.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting a week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Here are some interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.